Thank you for joining me today, Doug.
Thanks, Allie. It's good to be here.
So I wanted to talk to you about the extent of the fire danger this summer and what we can do to prevent or prepare for it in this area. Hundreds of firefighters are battling blazes all over the state of Colorado right now. Do you think it's going to be as bad as it was last year?
Well, I certainly hope not. Last year, we were already on considerably more fires by this time. But fire seasons seem to be kind of flexible in terms of timing right now, so it's hard to gauge how long the season will last. Typically, historically, fire season's over in mid-July in western Colorado, but who knows what's going to happen this year.
So the Delta County fire ban is in effect as of today. How do the commissioners decide to issue an open fire ban?
They're trying to base it on science. We know that BLM jumped in a little bit and did a similar ban on their lands. BLM does things more based on science, and it's kind of hard to gauge what the county commissioners chose. I think that the county commissioners made a wise choice to do it now, but I don't have an insight into the reasoning.
Why do you think it was a wise choice?
If you're trying to wait for the final numbers to get up, and the numbers just really haven't quite been there to scientifically say it's time for a ban. But there's science and then there's common sense. I think everybody is looking at the weather and just the nature as we move into the 4th of July fireworks. Also, the costs involved in dealing with the fires. I think that it should be like a decision based. Not just on science, but the political realities, common sense, and the desire to provide safety for the people.
How can we protect our homes from wildfire? I know a lot of us live out in areas where, we're surrounded by open space where it could happen.
Well, we could look at the various methods and steps that you could take to protect your home, but there's a couple of things that you probably should look at first, and that's protecting yourself and your family. And I would really like to encourage people that if they do get an evacuation notice to really make up their minds quickly about leaving and what they need to take. So all that thing about building a go pack, a pack that you can take to leave, the three P's, your photos, your papers, and your prescriptions for some of the older people, your pets, things like that. That's maybe number one is to really make that decision when it's time to leave to get out. Because a lot of people have the idea that they can protect their home. They want to stay and fight it out. But I could tell you that when you're being faced with 30 and 40 mile an hour winds and the type of fuels that we have, it's not possible. We keep on finding out and over again from the big fires that people have trouble with their insurance if their house does burn down. And I think one of the very first things that we've been really focusing on is to try and get people to pay attention to their insurance policy. And you really want to contact your agent and make sure you're properly insured. If your house is undervalued, you're going to be in a real hardship if you do have a problem. That said, if you do touch base with your insurance agents and you're satisfied that you've got the proper coverage, the next couple of things that you might want to do is to walk around your house and look for some things that may help or may cause your house to catch on fire. Like maybe you've got a bundle of firewood stacked up against the house. That's a big no-no. Maybe some dry weeds or some buildup of leaves and things like that in your gutters or under your deck. Those are things you want to look at. Some of the biggest reasons that houses burn down, while everyone pays attention to the trees next to your house, there is a really large component in the number of houses that burn down that have some really small things like some beds that have mulch that right next to the house, things like that. So those are the things you really want to look at. Walk around and say, well, this is kind of flammable. It really shouldn't be next to my house. And that would be that's a good place to start.
Right. So I put together one of those go packs. It's just all my important papers in a tub that I can easily just throw into my car and get out of there if I have to.
That's good.
How do you handle an evacuation in this area? What would happen if there was an evacuation in Delta County? How would people be notified? What's all set in terms of responding to a fire that would require evacuations?
Okay. So I could tell you that if you have a fire nearby and smoke is blowing over your head, the fire is going to come towards you. And that's number one. And number two, it could come in a quite a different number of ways. But that's the big thing to pay attention to, and obviously you'd want to evacuate away from the fire. But to answer your question about how you would get notified, the county has a reverse notification in place, system in place that will call phones and cell phones and alert you if there's an evacuation in your area. You could register on the county website with the emergency manager to get your cell phone registered. There's also one at the West Region. We could post some links on our webpage and on our Facebook page on how to register your cell phone.
Inevitably, there's going to be a shortage of water this year. How does that affect the fire district or, you know, people's efforts in firefighting?
We've been through some really dry years before, and it really hasn't affected us. We have the ability to not only get water out of ditches and ponds, but also through the water systems, the municipal water systems and the rural domestic water systems. We've got, in Hotchkiss, we've got a fairly fairly good supply, and we're kind of counting that a large wildfire wouldn't impact those resources too terribly, but realistically, it could. And water always becomes an issue later in the year, in addition to the fact that people's fields start drying out and things. So I kind of suspect that we'll have another a second fire season later in the summer, early fall, mid-fall, that we'll have to deal with again, too.
And I've been speaking with Doug Fritz, who's the fire chief for the Hotchkiss Fire District. How can community members help the fire district and be involved?
Well, there's going to be a community wildfire protection meeting for the Hotchkiss Fire District at 6 o'clock at the Hotchkiss Fire Station on Wednesday, June 19th, and we'd really invite everyone to come down and who has an interest in this and take part in the meeting. The other thing that you could do is to just take care of your place. Just go around and spend 10 to 15 minutes, kind of pick up. Start thinking about what would happen if there was a fire and you got that evacuation notice or that pre-evacuation notice. Make up your mind now about what you're going to do. Make a little bit of a plan. Make sure your friends and family know where you're going to go and that you are going to go. And get your go pack ready. Those are all things you could do to help us. I would really like to take this time to thank everybody for being careful with fire, because we've had quite a few red flag days and some pretty horrendous fire weather for the past month, and everyone's been really careful, and I really appreciate that. I think my firefighters do too.
Well, thank you so much, Doug, and hopefully you won't be too busy for the rest of the summer.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's the way it's going to be.